Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Vicky, I want to get you ready so you can say phrasing. Okay. In her new book, Demi Moore reveals that she and Ashton Kutcher had threesomes with other women.
So Demi Moore is alive.
She's alive.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, she's alive. Apparently she is. And so apparently, though, here's what she's saying. In her book, she goes, yeah, I had threesomes with other women, but it was Ashton Kutcher's idea.
Oh.
And she says, quote, it eventually blew up in her face.
Phrasing.
Yeah, that's what happens sometimes at a threesome. Hey.
Wow, so he was into the threesome action.
Well, remember, he was the younger man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, when somebody wants to start bringing somebody else in and they're younger than you and they want to bring in, if you will, maybe younger blood, you may maybe be like, maybe I'm too old for this person. It's going to be over soon.
Huh.
Yeah. That's what we all felt that. We all felt that the older she got, the more chances were that he wasn't going to stick with her. And now we're seeing these threesomes. I believe it was a symptom of that.
Dude, I mean, like, I bet back in 2010 when they were together, he hooked up with a girl that was friends with her daughter, Rumor, who's 21.
Yeah.
So he's hanging out with Rumor. He went bowling while she was out of town, you know, being a good stepdad.
Yeah.
And then hooks up with Rumor's friend.
But if you're the kind of person that basically goes for young people, can you be mad when your young person goes for young people too? Like people younger than
you. Yeah, you can be mad when someone's not being faithful to you, no matter what the age.
Oh, I'm just saying if you're attracted, is all I'm saying. I agree with it. But, like, you know, she was attracted to him because he was younger than her. So, it's not out of the question. He might be attracted to somebody younger than himself.
Sure. But, again, I think that her issue is that they were supposed to be married and follow the vows and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, who wants to do that? He found out that, she found out that he cheated on her, and he used the threesomes as an excuse. He said, quote, because we brought a third party into our relationship, Ashton said that blurred the lines and to some extent justified what he'd done. Well, that's stupid.
He's just doing a make him up at that point.
Yeah, that's stupid. What he's doing is saying, gosh, I realize now as I'm older, I don't want to be with you as you get older. I didn't know that, you know, when you were hot, maybe a hot 40-something, and I was in my 20s, that was okay. But now he's probably like, do I want to be with a 60-something? And I'm thinking the answer was no, and instead he did this rather than be a man and go, you know what, I don't want to be with you anymore, and just do that first.
Now, earlier we talked about Liam, was it Hemsworth?
Yes.
That he found out through social media that Miley Cyrus didn't want to be with him anymore. Apparently, she also found out about an alleged affair. She woke up one morning and saw that it was a Google alert about him hooking up with another girl.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
He had the Google alert. I don't know. Maybe she had a Google alert set on herself and it just popped up with the story about Ashton Kutcher hooking up with this other chick.
Yeah.
And she said, I felt sick to my stomach.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, Demi's book Inside Out hits the shelves on Tuesday. I feel badly for anybody that gets cheated on. But when you're in Hollywood, you marry the it guy who's, 20 years younger than you? Honestly, Demi, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, come on.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? Come on.
But do you think also maybe she also, I understand what you're saying, like, but she's Demi Moore, and she knows that she's like this ultimate lust woman, so she's thinking, well, he's not going to want to do anything outside of just be with me, because for years, everybody's put me on such a pedestal.
Yeah, and she needs to know that that's going to fade.
These Hollywood couples, they're all doomed.
Yeah, they're all doomed. It sucks because it should be that it's good enough. Because you see older guys with younger women, and that's not a problem, and they usually stay together for a while. But look, we know how men are. Men are creatures of vision. They are attracted to what they see and like. And so, you know, when you get up in your 60s, to me, I mean, I'm sorry, but how do you tell a guy who's Ashton Kutcher level that a 60-year-old woman should be attractive enough for him? That's crazy.
Well, she's currently 56 and he's 41, so it's only a 15-year difference, not 20-year. Just a heads up.
All right, still.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, you know, look, my wife is in her 50s, and she surely doesn't look like she did when she was in her 20s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, for crying
out loud. But aren't you with someone just for more than just the attraction? Obviously, attraction's a big part of a relationship when you first meet and all that. But at some point, you're with that person for more than just the attraction part.
I agree.
The physical attraction. There's always going to be some kind of an attraction. So I don't know if that's necessarily fair.
Well, it's fair with Hollywood. I'm judging this based on Hollywood.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Hollywood, they're just, they're not regular people. That's why it's like, what did you think? But you're right, Steve. On average, in the normal situation, yeah, it's about, you know, it's about, hey, I really dig this person. I don't care. But then again, usually, you're not seeing this kind of thing.
Well, this is still devastating to me. I thought they were the epitome of a couple and love. And now that they're not together, it's sad.
And I think also money makes people crazy.
Plus, he also, like one person says, he had an opportunity to get with Mila Kunis, and so he was just like, I gotta go.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, you saw, and how could you, all she had to do was just watch That 70s Show, right? Really?
The chemistry was there.
I mean, seriously, to me, watch a couple of extra episodes and realize that your marriage is doomed. It's only a matter of time. It's just, you know, Kelso's just gotta keep working. That's all he had to do, and he finally made it happen. All right, we got a new survey. About a quarter of people say that, oh, this is actually very timely. And this is, by the way, very relatable. And Steve, you and I may argue about this, but I believe that it's more and more going to happen. 25% of people say monogamy, not that important to them anymore.
Wow.
That's I remember you and I would talk about this, and I said, I think in 50 to 100 years, monogamy is going to be considered antiquated by a lot of people.
And I still don't think it's going to be. I think that there's always...
You got 25% that don't even care anymore about it. That's that's a big number.
But are we talking 25% of the couples? Or is it just a people? Because, you know, when you're in a couple relationship, there might be one person in that relationship is like, yeah, I don't care about monogamy. I'm just going to go plow some people. But then the other person still assumes that this is a monogamous relationship.
I don't know if I follow what you're trying to say as far as the numbers go. I agree that if 25%, so there's a really good chance that both people in a relationship aren't on board because 25% is only 25%.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't know how many people are going to find a relationship with somebody that's also on board for just banging whoever.
Well, that's where you know there's 25% of the people out there. In my opinion, if I was one of those 25%, I would look for somebody who's like-minded.
But I would like to know the gender breakdown on that.
Well, let's find that out. 22% of men.
Okay. Makes sense. Of the 25%?
Yes, exactly. Out of the 25% of men, 25% of everybody, 22% of men and 11% of women, they say they're open to a relationship where you can have sex with other people.
Okay.
And, here's the thing. People say it's not important to them, but some of these people that say it's not important to them still don't want to go have sex with other people. So I don't understand what that means to them. If monogamy is not important, but you don't want to have sex with other people, do you know what monogamy means? That's what I'd ask those undecided. Like, out of the 25%, some of them don't want to have sex with other people. Well, it's like, then you're monogamous.
I have friends that are in open relationships, but they haven't found anybody else they want to have sex with or be with, because, and they just are like, you know what? It's open if we want to. If it happens, we're not going to, you know, divorce over this, but we just kind of want to have sex with each other. We want to be with each other and spend all our time. I know it's kind of a weird concept that somebody might want to be with one person, but they genuinely do.
Well, it's not a weird concept. It turns out 75% of the people actually believe that monogamy is still a cool thing.
But you said there's 11% of women, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a lot of people, really. Because in order to be able to be okay with having sex with other people, then you have to be with someone who's also is okay with that.
Right.
That's only 11%.
That's still when you think of, like, I thought it was much lower. You know what I'm saying, Steve? I would have thought that, you know, I think what this says is that 17% of people are definitely open to having sex with other people, more men than women.
And I also wonder,
I'm still surprised at that number. I thought that would be much lower.
I'd be curious of the age breakdown as well, because, you got people in their 20s that are probably a lot more cool with the idea of being monogamous, but when they get older, maybe they just don't want to, they're like, I don't need that drama now in my life. We have to be monogamous.
Here's the funny thing. The way they do stats, that people are open to having sex with other people, but I guess they're still open to monogamy. The reason I bring this up is because now they say, in this later on in the study, they say 9% of men and 11% of women out of this original number. So basically, out of this small number of people that say they are not that crazy about monogamy, they don't care either way. Out of that number, 9% of men and 11% of women definitely hate monogamy. So it's actually out of this survey, more women hate monogamy than men do out of this small group of people that are like, eh, about monogamy.
Like one person even just said, yeah, everyone's cool with it until they are actually cheated on. Then,
well, here's what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe that they exist, but I also think they're responsible. What kind of person wants to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't have the same philosophies? I wouldn't want to cheat on somebody because,
right.
You know, even with my, look, I'm not a big believer in monogamy. I think it's stupid, but my wife is, and I really love my wife. So it's not that big of a deal for me to say, well, then if I can't have sex with other people, I'm going to leave you. No, she's more important to me than mm-hmm. a stupid philosophy, but I think monogamy is stupid.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I have no issues with someone who doesn't, like, wants to be in a relationship with someone and not be monogamous. I mean, that's, like if you find someone that's cool with that, too, then that's awesome. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, whatever makes you guys happy. I don't foresee, like, you to go back to the argument, in 20, 30 years, are we going to see more people being, you know, just free about who they're banging? I don't think it's ever going to get to that because I think there's just too many emotions involved with a human being that we're going to, I don't know if we'll ever get to the point where there's enough people out there that are going to be like, yeah, I'm totally down with you boning that guy over there at any given point.
And I believe we will because we will not attach so much. You and I have been raised to attach love to sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe the two are related. I really don't. And I think we are going to learn as a people that you, and Vicky has taught me, that she's had sex with so many people that she doesn't love.
No, like it's not, it's a physical, like some of these people I have loved and that has been amazing, but it is just like another physical activity. But for me, like I actually tried to do the polyamorous relationship because in my head, I'm like, I think I'm cool with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went on with it. And when feelings were developed, I realized he's like, I'm in love with you and I'm in love with somebody else. I was like, I can't do this. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is a new development for me.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
And a lot of my friends are like, oh, he was such a jerk. I'm like, he wasn't a jerk. He followed the rules. He was honest about it. He followed all the rules. Like, he's not a jerk. It's just I found out that this wasn't for me, so I left.
And we know somebody that actually, who's a really cool person that's in a polyamorous relationship, and that person doesn't seem to have a problem with it at all.
No.
I was surprised to find out that person was in this relationship because, mm-hmm. I'll just say this, that person, I think, could have anybody in their life they would want. They're a very attractive person, and they still choose to be in this polyamorous relationship, and they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, how many more times will that happen as time goes on, life goes on, that we'll see more people like this? And this person seems very well adjusted, like doesn't seem to have any problems, seems to have a great life, and they are willingly in a relationship where they have more than one mate.
I can see that. Because when someone's comfortable in their own skin, that really removes a lot of other issues that they're probably battling. You know,
I agree with that.
I think I have a lot of friends, like not a lot, but I have a good number of friends that are in polyamorous relationships, and I had no idea until like you see something on their Facebook page, and then you talk to them. Like I've had conversations with some of them, and I'm just like, oh, okay, like completely opened my eyes to a whole new world that I just is not on my radar. But so I think it's important for people to be comfortable in any relationship that they're in. So if that's something that's really important to them, then yeah. But I just don't know if there's ever going to be a lot of people that are going to have that same mindset.
And I can't blame you for not knowing. I believe, and I think the time frame is 50 to 100 years. I do. But I think in 50 to 100 years,
we're all dead at that point.
You might be still here.
I mean, I'll be here, but I'm not going to be here.
Dude, you'll be the guy in the rocking chair going, that stupid BJ was right. All my neighbors was like 40 wives and 70 husbands. He was right.
I don't even remember you in 50 years. I'll be like, I just pooped myself again. Sorry, babe.
Oh, I think, you know, sorry, babe. You think she's going to be around at that? If you're pooping yourself, whoever woman's with you, she's gone.
Yeah, I give her a pass if she doesn't want to be around. All I do is poop myself.
Yeah, you're not going to be living with her. She's going to have you in a home.
I poop myself.
Yeah, but you'll be in the home. And when you have that moment of lucidity before you go back to pooping yourself, you're going to remember whether you were right or wrong.
Okay.
If you were right, of course you're going to remember. You're going to relish and you go, I wish BJ was here. He thought this was like, yeah, everybody's still monogamous. Ha ha. Oh,
Poop myself again.
All right. Nurse. I think you're my nurse. You might be married to me. I don't know. I think I did a great impression of you when you're old. No? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vic. All right. There's a site called boomstickcomics.com, put out the saddest moments in TV history. We got a bunch of them. And
saddest moments in TV history.
Wow. I'll tell you, number one, the one comes from How I Met Your Mother. I know that you and Danny liked the show or liked it for a while.
Oh, I know what it is.
What's one is that?
It's got to be when, what's his face? Oh, gosh, what the guy's name? Marshall. His dad died.
That, yes, there was something else.
Me.
There was something else going on too that I think that you would know. It not necessarily is about you, but it was about he was having troubles that was similar to what you don't remember. Well,
he pooped himself.
He had trouble having a kid, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
And that was the same time
that.
His dad was dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So his dad actually died. And so that I know I figured would be on your radar in that one.
That, oh man, that was such a devastating.
Yeah.
Like I get it when. I don't know, how do you guys feel about sitcoms that get real, like, real bummer moments?
I feel like they have to at least be three seasons in, and I have to be invested in and got a lot of laughs from them.
That's
they
a
do
good
it,
call.
They do it before three seasons, I'm a little bummed.
It depends, yeah. It depends on how attached to the characters you are. Like, one of the ones that that still, to this day, makes me cry every single time is where Will Smith in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where his dad ditches him, and
yes.
He goes on his rant to Uncle Phil, and Uncle Phil just holds him and says he is enough. Oh my gosh.
Oh, look at Danny. He's about to cry.
Oh my gosh. It is so hard.
Dude, your eyes are watering.
I know.
That's on the list, Danny, by the way.
Yeah.
That is on the list of one of the saddest moments in TV history.
But I didn't hate that moment, or I didn't hate the show for it, because at that point, like, I love the show. Like, I already love the show. I was so invested in it.
And that scene is, like, shared at least every few months on Facebook. And every time, like, not watching it again. Can't handle this. It's too much.
It is a beating, because every child wants to be loved by their parent. And look, I know what that's like because I literally was a baby on a doorstep. I was abandoned by both parents. And my entire life, I always hoped that my real parents would come back and get me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember that dream. I mean, my foster parents were great, but
you romanticized with that.
Everybody
moment.
Made fun of me like your parents didn't want you. Your parents didn't want you. And so all I wanted was to show those kids wrong and go, look, there was a mistake. I made up all this story that they didn't know I was gone. You know, and that they're looking for me, you know, so I can see how that moment would be heartbreaking to watch that on TV.
Yeah.
If I would, which is one of the reasons why people say, well, you want to find your parents? It's like, no, I don't think I want them to give me up for a second time.
Yeah.
Because that's probably what would happen is like I'd meet this person going, I specifically didn't want them to trace me to you.
Right.
Why are you at my door? I don't need that.
Yeah. How hard would that be if like you're not going to learn? They're like, how'd you find us?
Yeah. So Danny, I gotta go. Yeah. I can appreciate that being a moment. Another one comes from a show that I love.
What show is that?
I grew up with, Happy Days.
When he jumped the shark?
Well, no, but it did involve a motorcycle, and it was Richie. And Fonzie, who's always cool, and I remember this moment, and it is a big moment, where, you know, Fonzie's always the cool dude, and Richie was kind of a geek. So mm-hmm. The fact that Fonzie even gave him any attention was always, like, kind of cool. And again, I loved it.
He wanted to hook up with Richie's mom.
He didn't want to hook up with
He did.
Well, later in the show, I could understand where he would think of that.
There was some chemistry.
There was, I think he... It was Oedipal. I will give you that, even though she treated him like a son, and I agree with you. I think
and
he did.
And her husband was very like not attentive to her.
Why are you ruining such a beautiful moment?
Sorry.
I think that Fonzie's going to bang Richie's mom. You're right, though.
Sorry,
I can't argue with you. You're right. There were moments where I thought maybe that was a thing. But here's what happened: is Richie was in a motorcycle accident.
Yes.
And Fonzie visits him in the hospital and breaks down.
I barely remember that, but
that's a huge scene because Fonzie was never emotional. You know, that was he never had any emotions, and so that was huge for Happy Days.
Oh, I got one that devastated me because I used to be such a big fan of Lost.
Lost is on the list.
Is it when Charlie dies?
Oh, when you see him die underwater?
That dude was battling so much, man.
Yeah.
Damn heroin.
Seriously. He finally got it together. You thought him and the pregnant Australian chick were going to like get together. And
he like sacrificed himself.
He died. Vicky, you should know
what
one of these.
What the hell is the name of his band?
Drive Shaft. Yeah. That's it, man. Sacrifice himself to save Desmond, too. That was the whole idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, seeing Charlie just drown like that, oh, that was a beating. Vicky, you should know this one. It's a show that nobody liked the last season of.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Friends first, but...
Nobody liked the last season of the show, but what was the one moment that everybody on that show was sad about?
Okay, I'm trying to think of all the ones that I cried about. Actually, I didn't cry that many.
Iconic character, and we figured out why he was the way he was.
No.
Yeah, that's the one that made us all cry.
Poor Hodor.
Hodor! And he was... So for you folks that don't know, I love the story because when you realize the origin of it, you laugh your ass off even if you don't know the story. There's a big ass guy.
Right.
All he says in Game of Thrones is Hodor. That's the only that you could ask him what he's like Groot. The only response he has is Hodor. Hodor. Hodor.
Like he got like he had like a spell of sorts and he like when he was a kid and he just that's the only thing he can say now.
We thought he was disturbed. Well, he thought maybe he had mental illness or like Vicky said, it was either supernatural or he just was developmentally disabled. But he was a lovable character that did everything he could. He was a hulk of a man. Finally, they reveal to us what the F happened to this poor guy. And basically, he gets taken over by a guy with special powers who's his friend. The guy he's been protecting the whole time turns out to be the guy that effed him up. You know, with, and it's all timey-wimey. But basically what they said to him in his brain, he basically blew his brain out so that only one phrase stayed in his brain so that he could protect him, which was, hold the door. And so all the thing he kept saying over and over in his head.
Yeah, because he was getting a vision of the future.
Yeah.
And so his, you know, young self was like, hold the door, because he saw, like, all the bad guys coming.
Oh.
And so then it just kind of scarred him, and then it kind of turned to Hodor, Hodor.
Hold the door, hold the door, hold it. That's all he kept saying was hold the door, and it turned to Hodor.
Oh, God, I was a mess.
We were a mess, but also I was laughing going, so really, that's his name is Hodor because he said hold the door. And but that, for a lot of Game of Thrones fans, was heartbreaking that this poor guy was effed up by the guy he was protecting, basically.
We got a lot of texts about Sons of Anarchy when Opie died.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Howard was on this show?
No. No.
It's a terrible
I know,
joke for 50-year-olds.
Good job, buddy. I got it.
Yeah. and 60-year-old.
Yeah. Opie was such a loyal friend to, you know, to Jax. And yet, yeah, his death, he had to go in and basically sacrifice himself. And everybody knew he had to. And his death was brutal. And he was such a good dude in the motorcycle gang. It was brutal. Oh, Opie, by the way, is now on The Walking Dead and plays a Beta, a great character when the new season comes back. So that actor, it's good to see him again. Oh, yeah. Oh, how about Cheers? This is old, and this is going to be an older Cheers episode.
Cheers, was it when Buddy Lembeck died?
Yes, coach. Wait, was that?
No, Buddy was the goalie for the Bruins, man.
Oh, you're right.
That was Carla's boyfriend, right? Didn't he die?
Yeah, Jay Thomas.
But did he die and then found out that he didn't die because he was banging someone else? I can't remember anymore.
He didn't get along with her and pissed off somebody, and so they basically had him die.
Oh, okay, they killed him off, though.
I think Jay Thomas told us the whole story at one of our conventions. It was like how he pissed somebody off. Of course, Jay is no longer with us, but no, this is Coach when he confronts his daughter Lisa and forbids her from marrying Roy because he doesn't treat her right.
I don't remember that.
It's
must have been what, season one?
Well, this is before
Woody Harrelson,
yes.
Because Coach was a great character and then he died.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. Those are some of the saddest moments in TV history. Just like that.
What about a lot of people are saying Walter White, man, Breaking Bad? Or what about Hank dying in Breaking Bad?
Okay, I'll give you Hank.
Yeah.
Because the story arc of Hank was amazing. He went from being a two-dimensional a-hole to being a character you felt so sorry for. I didn't feel sorry for Walter White dying. I mean, he was a hero, but he was an anti-hero. And the reason, I'll tell you why, the way he effed over Hank, you kind of was like, you know, you deserve this, Walter, because Hank was a good dude, man.
Hank was like the guy at first. Yeah. You were like, I don't care if this guy dies at any given point.
But then...
And then as the show continued, you're right. He turned out to be this awesome dude.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's... The Hank death was tough.
Yeah.
All right. It's time now for you to see if you can beat Steve. It's as simple as that. All you got to do is call in at 421-ROCK. That's 206-421-ROCK. And... you can play Beat Migs. We'll do that at 8:47 on The Rock. 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Let's play Beat Migs.
I will beat anyone that calls in to play the game. He's smarter than you. He'll make you look lame. 60 seconds on the clock. You're going down and I'm going to rock. It's time to play the
Beat Migs.
Yeah.
Sarah. Sarah edition.
About time we classed up this joint.
Hell yeah, that's right. And you guys, we've made it to Friday.
Definitely.
Danny's jumping.
Sarah's twerking.
Always.
Okay, I don't know if I need to see that.
Sorry, Dad. We have made it to this beautiful Friday, beautiful blue Friday. We're going to crush them on Sunday. Don't even know where we're playing. Not going to lie.
The Saints.
We're going to crush the Saints.
That's it.
Kind of like Reb with the whole sports ball, you know? Biggest bandwagon fan, but I got it, you know?
You're a much better bandwagon fan than Rev.
Yeah, at least I represent,
yeah,
right?
You get excited about it. Rev just hates on it all.
Yeah, exactly.
I go to bed.
Yeah.
Is Rev stuck in Houston right now because of the floods?
I think he finally made it. He just told me he got there at 7:30 this morning, got to Florida.
Oh, 7:30 this morning?
Yeah, he's so pissed because this day is done. He's so unhappy.
What a waste of day.
It really is, yeah.
Wow, that was almost 24 hours of traveling. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. I'm kind of smiling about it.
I know, right?
Just because he's a sad sack of life, and so of course that
definitely
happens to him.
Yeah, see?
All right, let's get to this game, shall we?
Okay.
All right, today we have Levi from Bremerton. Levi, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
There he is.
How's
All
it
right.
going?
Hey, Levi.
Super.
All right, Steve, what is Levi playing for today?
Tickets to see Live and also Bush over at the Showwear Center on October 16th. Go to KISW.com to get more information. If you want tickets, they're available now at LiveNation.com.
All right, now get out. For those playing at home, Levi has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Levi, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All
Levi,
right.
Okay.
You sure?
Go. Here we go.
Okay. In Beauty and the Beast, Belle is most known for wearing what color ball gown?
Purple.
No.
Red.
No.
Yellow.
Yes.
Good job.
If a male moose is called a bull, what do you call a female moose?
Pass.
What is the most common last name in the United States?
Smith.
Yes. What year in the early 2000s did Johnny Cash die?
2002.
No.
2003.
Yes. Bob Marley had the 70s hit song, No Woman, No What?
Hi.
Yes. What color blood does an octopus have?
Black.
No.
Blue.
Yes.
Good job.
What kind of animal is Flower in the classic Disney film Bambi?
Rabbit.
No.
Deer.
No.
Squirrel.
No. 5 correct.
I'm going to ask this question one more time. I'm going to give Levi another shot.
Okay, give him another
Levi.
Shot.
What is that? If a male moose is called a bull, what is a female moose called? Okay. Okay,
Levi. You can do it.
Levi, let me ask you a question. Do you know what a bull is?
Yeah.
Do you know what a bull is? Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the female of a bull? Oh, I guess you don't know that. All right, you don't know. Okay.
Some people just
moose.
I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
just
saying in general. You know what a bull is? Like a bull that pulls plows across the farm, right?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the female of that?
Gosh.
Right. This is general.
No, you can't say nothing no more. Right. Steve is here.
I guess he just doesn't know. Okay.
He just doesn't know, you know?
Which is interesting.
I wouldn't have known either unless it was for Google. So okay.
Congratulations.
Let's get real.
Okay.
Let's see if Steve's
I thought
knows.
We all played a game that started with that first name and had the second name there. We played that game. And
watch you be wrong.
Okay.
All right, Steve, are you ready?
Yes.
In Beauty and the Beast, Belle is most known for wearing what color ball gown?
Pink.
No.
Yellow?
Yes.
Yes.
If a male moose is called a bull, what do you call a female moose?
Cow?
Yes! What is the most common last name in the United States?
I'm going to go with Smith.
Yes.
Good job.
What year in the early 2000s did Johnny Cash die?
He died in 2000 and... 3.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Bob Marley had the 70s hit song, No Woman, No What?
Sex.
Yeah. No.
No Woman, No Cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What color blood does an octopus have?
Pink.
No.
Blue.
Yes. What kind of animal is Flower in the classic Disney film Bambi?
A bull.
No.
A cow.
No.
I don't know. I'm going to go with anteater. Good job.
No. I'm the king of the world is a famous quote from what movie?
Danny's stupid movie, Titanic.
Yes. Seven correct, which means, Steve, you win.
Yes.
7-5.
Is there anybody in this room who does not know that the female version of a bull is a cow? Is there anybody that doesn't know that?
I didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Kidding. I got it right.
You really didn't know that, Sarah?
I didn't know that.
You know, I failed you as a parent.
In many ways.
Not just this way.
Let's get real.
I can't blame somebody then if they don't get that whole reference because I have to. Everybody knew bull cow. Bull cow. Bull. I guess not.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, Steve. Another one bites the dust. You made it happen.
Someone just texted, who is this girl hosting Beat Migs? Her voice is angelic.
Oh,
definitely.
Thank you. Thanks, Rev.
It's so funny. Sarah's been on the show for, 4 or 5 years, but yeah. Some people don't even know that she's on the show, so I get it because she's not on a lot.
Maybe because she's in game show mode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
My yeses, they're more intense.
And also, if you only listen at this time frame.
Oh, good call. You're
Sarah
right.
Would never be on.
You never hear Sarah. You're right.
I am the apple of BJ's eye. I am his daughter.
Okay, right? You are my daughter. I give you that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, congratulations, Steve. You got 7 correct.
That means call number 7. Guess what you're doing? You're checking out Live and Bush at the show where caller number 7, 206-421-ROCK. Congratulations to caller number 7. You know, it's been a while since we heard from Shia LaBeouf. As you know, he's out of his mind.
Oh, yes.
He just did
just
an interview.
Do it!
He's just sharing with us how out of his mind he is because he just did an interview where he talked about the rumor that he knocked out Tom Hardy while filming the 2012 movie Lawless.
We were just talking about Tom Hardy because Vicky would...
Yeah, one of the three guys that she wants to, yeah.
Well, like, I want him to, you know, I want to make a baby with him.
Oh, yes. My bad.
I want those genes.
Yeah. And so Chaya says, you know what? No, I didn't knock out Tom Hardy in the movie Lawless. That isn't true. He explains in this interview what really happened.
He runs into the room. The girl I was with at the time was terrified. And she covered up and she ran into the kitchen. He picked me up and I didn't have nothing on. So now I'm naked.
Oh.
On his shoulder. We're in the hallway. We're wrestling around. I'm like, Peanut's filming it all. I'm like, Peanut, you can't be filming it. And we're like wrestling. And then I got upset about it because he got the better of me. But I'm in some weird twisty naked position. We wound up like inching over the stairs where the stairs were and he fell down the stairs. He wound up hurting his back. So for the rest of the shoot, he told everybody I knocked him out, but that wasn't the case. We were having some weird, like, a cutie wrestling match.
I respect that. I do that most weekends as well.
First of all, who's Peanut?
Yeah, right? I think all of us need a friend named Peanut.
Hey, Peanut, what are you filming this for, Peanut?
Wait, so was Peanut filming Shia? Because, okay, at the beginning of the story, he says the girl had a cover-up. He was naked. I'm assuming that they were in bed together. Possibly doing some stuff.
That's what I'm thinking.
What the hell is Peanut doing in the room?
Yeah, unless Peanut's the naked girl, or maybe he's documenting this for Shia's life. That, miss, you're going to have to sign this release for him, because Shia, I'm Peanut, by the way. I'm Shia's documentarian. God, more and more. Dude, money in Hollywood makes you crazy.
Yeah.
It really does. It makes you a crazy person.
What a weird situation.
That is a very bizarre situation. I have a feeling drugs and alcohol may have been involved.
No.
I have just a slight, small inkling. And how about, do we know the real truth of the story? Because Tom Hardy runs around and goes, Shia LaBeouf injured me rather than I was stupid and fell down some stairs. Unless he has some sort of thing in his contract that says if you're stupid and fall down the stairs, we won't pay you. I don't know why he would say that.
Oh, apparently that interview clip was from the Hot Ones show, the hot chicken wing show. Now I'm already backed up on Hot Ones. It's Steve Austin I still need to watch, and right. Now Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah,
he's eating hot wings, doing an interview. That's awesome.
And he says, at least at that part of the interview, I didn't know. I wouldn't have even known he was eating chicken wings. He seemed very unaffected.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I can't believe how many people can go do that Hot Ones show and not be dying. I would be dying.
Oh, someone says Peanut is Tom's friend that showed up with Tom.
Oh.
I kind of want to still go through Peanut's phone. I feel like he's got some interesting videos on there.
So Tom Hardy has a friend called Peanut. And how about Tom didn't complain about it? He was like, Shy is like, Peanut, you can't record this. And Peanut goes, I record everything. I am the recorder.
So they probably knew what was going on with Shia. He's like, Peanut, get your phone out. Let's go in there and let's mess with them.
Yeah.
And then this all happened.
And the next thing you know, Tom Hardy has a broken back.
You're right. They were not sober.
Yeah, they were not.
Not a chance.
Not at all. Wow. Hey, have you heard about this Venmo texting scam? I have not. I don't use Venmo, so I don't know.
I have not.
Yeah.
I don't use Venmo either.
Yeah, I'm a Cash App guy myself. And now if you have
I write checks.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's one way.
Someone wants my money, I write them a check.
You can't get me if I'm analog, bitches.
That's right.
Well, turns out that we all really need to stay vigilant because apparently this Venmo texting scam is tricking some people. Be careful. It happened to me, man, where somebody just sent me an email and it looked really official for my credit card company going, we need to verify your credit card. And of course, the first thing I was like, you know me. Why would you need to verify? You have all my information.
Right.
You sent this email to me. You have it. But I mean, it's funny that they have they now, even if you can stop yourself from having like, the, you know, they have the XXXXX and they put the last four digits.
Yep.
People have access to that now.
Oy.
So they send it to you, making it look like, oh, we're official because we didn't print out your full credit card number. But really, they have access to it because that's the only thing anybody would print out.
So
and they try to fake you out.
Yeah.
Of course, I smile and go, yeah, I don't think you're real people. Just so you know. You'll call me on the phone just like anybody if they really, really need something from me.
And that's the problem, though. At some point, a company is going to actually reach out to you via email or something or a text. And I'm just going to assume it's not real. And then I'm going to find out like months later that I'm like in collections.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just assume everything's not real.
Yeah.
And then one day I'm not going to have hot water. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to go, well, we sent you notices. Yeah, but you know what? I get notices from you guys all the time that aren't you.
Right.
What
I don't believe anything anymore.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The register for the Do Not Call registry, we've heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about the unsubscribe list on emails. I don't think we should do it because there will still be companies, according to this, the top five ways to protect yourself from phone scams. Apparently, when you register for this Do Not Call registry, there will be some companies and criminals that ignore the fact that you're on the registry.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a scammer is not going to be like, oh, they're on the do not call list.
Yeah, whoops. I should
leave them alone. Yeah. I'm an honorable scammer.
Yeah. Also, your caller ID, they know how to fix that, too. So it looks like you're getting a call from somebody in your life. So don't do that.
Yeah, see, I don't answer anything that I don't already have plugged in as a contact in my phone. If you need to get, if I'm not familiar with your number, leave me a voicemail. Otherwise, you're never going to hear back from me.
Someday, I feel like in Facebook, people are just going to basically be able to take somebody's picture and they're going to be able to take their name and call me on the phone and make it look like you're calling me. I feel like that's something that's like a hack away from happening.
That's why I have nicknames for everybody.
Oh, good call.
Wait.
That's a really good idea.
Stupid head.
Aw. Do I at least have a little emoji or anything?
Yeah. You don't want to know the emoji, Vicky.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Danny, for some reason my box isn't working. Is that you or me?
Yeah, that was me, sorry.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Danny.
You know, they have medication for that problem.
Thanks, stupid head.
See, that's why I call her stupid head.
Yeah. And by the way, that would be for you. Okay, I said my box wasn't well. All right, fine, never mind.
Like I went now nitpicking.
I really am. Also, don't respond or hang up if you do answer, because apparently, if you say anything at all, I didn't know this because I like to f with these people. They could end up contacting you even more. Even if I F with them, even if I really give them a hard time.
But see, I've always heard now the rumors of them just recording your voice and they're really just trying to get you to say stuff so they could then use it like as a soundboard to scam other things.
Yeah, and I've heard that too.
They always say, do not like say yes or no, because all of a sudden they'll have a recording of you saying yes or no. I'm way too obsessed with these conspiracies that are probably not necessarily true, but I just don't answer the phone so I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to play any games with you telemarketers and try and see if I can weird you out. I don't want to talk to you.
I got
to
stop that too then. They say don't pay anyone. If you get a call or text trying to get you pay money, it's pretty much a scam, especially if they ask for it through a wire transfer or a gift card.
Yeah.
Legitimate companies just don't do that. And in general, legitimate companies don't ask you to pay them at all through anything. They will bill you. That's how it works.
Yeah, when the IRS hit me up and said I need to pay them X amount of dollars in Best Buy gift cards, I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, no, that's legitimate. The IRS really likes to go to Best Buy.
There's that scam. Not Best Buy gift card, but someone's like, I've seen some people post like, yeah, the IRS said they're coming to arrest me if I don't pay X amount of dollars.
I get that call all the time.
What the hell is that?
All the time.
Are you serious? I've never gotten that call.
I have a landline. That's why. My landline gets, and it's always, it's so funny. They sound like they're Stephen Hawking with the computer-generated voice. You have got to pay us immediately. The Internal Revenue Service of Collections, they call it. You are in arrears and this and that, and I'm like, really? And it's like this stupid computer generated voice, like, okay.
I have one because I said some family that have fallen for this in the past, and I feel like it's a simple rule. You get an email that seems like that wants money or wants information, click on the email to see what the email address says.
Yes.
Because it might say, you know, eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Like Apple Service Department.
Right, but then you click on it and it's like apple.service.00department.649
yeah.
at some random address that's not even apple.com. And you're like, okay, there's no chance in hell this is really.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, because they're able to give a nickname to the email address.
So that's how it looks like. Yeah, that's what it looks like until you click on the actual email to see what the full email address is.
Now, there is a place to report scam calls to, but it's not the FTC.
Who the hell's the FTC?
I don't have a clue. It just says don't report scam calls to the FTC.
The Federal
Trade
Commission?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Oh, so it says
telecommunications?
It does say report scam calls to the FTC. I read that wrong. Well, because then it goes, or you can report them to donotcall.gov. So it's like, well, where do you want me to go, FTC or donotcall.gov? I guess that is how officially you do it. If you go to donotcall.gov, then the FTC has all the data, and the more data they get, the better they can fight these calls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's how and really, this is something you should give old people.
Yep.
You really do.
More often than not.
Yeah. I mean, I've trained my wife and my kids. I'm like, if anybody asks you for anything, call me. Let's talk about it and see if it's real. Because, you know, young people also using stuff for the first time also don't know. And sometimes they go, well, I thought it was legitimate. I thought that, you know, so I've told my kids and my wife, please just ask me, because they're a-holes, these people. And, you know, I've been around the block, Steve.
No, yeah, you've fallen for a lot of them.
Yeah, that's how I know.
Yep.
All right, it's time for Listeners on the Loose. This is where you pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. You can text us at 77999. What do you want to talk about? We got your calls, we got your texts at 917.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.